goes for it. Sean Mackey, the strike!
It's Calvin Miller against McGowan. Miller sends it in!
It's Miller time, baby! Champions again! Falkirk have broken through the glass ceiling! After 15 years in the wilderness, Falkirk Football Club has once again a Premiership club!
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, we're navy blue, are you?
Well, hearts broke our hearts as the Bairns went down to the Jambos on a blustery Saturday evening at the Falkirk Stadium. Hello, this is your unofficial Falkirk FC podcast. This is Falkirk Daft. I don't have the Ginger God of Pod with me, he is ill, but I do have Falkirk TV's Josh Heggie. Hi, how are you, Josh?
Yeah, not bad, John. How you doing?
Good, mate. I'm very good. Just you can probably hear my voice that I've got the sniffles, got the cold, but I've soldiered on, Josh. I'm you know, just being like a brave boy, getting through it. Ross, on the other hand, jeez, he pulled out. We're maybe doing the hospitality. Yeah, I think in the previous episode, I had just expressed the fact that I was going out my lad's day out, and he messaged me on Saturday morning saying that he wasn't going to make hospitality because he lost his voice. So. My full intentions of just leaving him to do it on his own went out of the window. So I watched myself, and then last night I was meant to be out back up the town, and didn't end up going because I was just scared of the result. And I thought, do you know what? I'll just get up the road and I'll have a cup of tea, and I'll just watch back the highlights.
That late kickoff time though, it just ruined your Saturday in a way that. And you finish the game and there's not much time left.
I know, it's a weird one. Like, this is the town I went out in the town, it was pretty much jumpy. Went to the Erwin Thai, by the way. First time I've tried the Erwin Thai at the bottom of the high street. It's getting four McAnally's in terms of the score for that. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Nice wee Penang curry, little salt and chilli squid to start with. Beautiful, very, very nice. So, Erwin Thai, check it out, down the bottom of the high street if you're looking for somewhere to dine in Falkirk. But yeah, highly recommend it. So I went in there beforehand, and then Wheat Sheaf, which was absolutely rammed. You know, any pub you go to in Falkirk this time of year is just going to be rammed anyway. But I thought, go to the Wheat Sheaf, arm behind the wall, sorry Brian, because I knew how many it would be in there as well. But aye, good day out apart from the football. But there we go. How have you been, Josh? It's been a wee while since we've spoke on this podcast.
Yeah, I've been good. Falkirk TV now have paid access for the world feed, so getting a slightly better angles on games, getting all four camera angles that QTV are operating, getting some of the replays in as well, and some halftime highlights. So it's really, really enjoyable.
That's good. It's made a big difference then, yeah?
Yeah, it's a lot more reliable. Getting the feed in nice and early makes our setup a lot less stressful as well.
Yeah, so is Drew not doing the camera now? You don't have to worry about the cameras now. You're just getting the feed in and just commentating over the top of it.
Yeah, pretty much. We're just getting it. If you're watching on Sky, it's the same pictures. Oh, so there's no camera work. It's just a matter of basically plugging our voices over the top of the pictures.
Oh, brilliant. That's really, really good. And it's went down well with our Bairns Abroad. And those with a VPN.
Yeah, it's picking up some feedback that it's making a bit of a difference, so happy days.
Great, good to hear. And young Sean obviously left these shores last season and just hear him on the BBC all the time now.
Yeah, you saw him getting name dropped on Friday night where he's one of his reviews of the Championship at Lower League Football, so he's doing great things. He was at the stadium for the Motherwell game during reporting for Sports Scene. So good to catch up from then.
Oh, good. Yeah, well, I'll catch up with him as well because we need to talk about the wrestling. John Cena's last match, you know, if we don't want to talk about the Hearts game, we can talk about John Cena going out in his back to Gunther. But I'm guessing people would rather hear about the Falkirk game than John Cena's final farewell match. Just a couple of bits that have come in from you guys. Palmer got in touch. We've got another new junior bairn. I think that means Sarah Scott only has 19 more junior bairns, or 18 more junior bairns to go. What I believe Scott Bain and Brad Spencer are imminent in terms of kids as well, so might add another couple to the collection. But a huge welcome to the junior bairns, the baby Reuben Glenn Risk, whose uncle Alan signed him up 1 hour after being born. So fantastic work, Alan Risk, is a fan of this show. So well done, Alan. So there you go. There, another junior bairn is added. Hello, Reuben. Welcome to the world and welcome to the Falkirk family. So yeah, I think Sarah's only got about 18 more. So if you are looking for a Christmas present, get your kids signed up to the junior bairns and she can hit her golden number that she wants to. So 18 more to go, I think, now. And a shout out to Matthew J. Wood. Now, if you don't know Matthew J. Wood, he's done a lot of kind of bespoke merch for the club, a lot of prints and stuff like that. I've got a few hanging up, they're really, really good. But he actually sent us a message, and I think we repost this on our socials, but saying if anyone's struggling with the cost of everything this year, drop him a message. He'll give access to his sale page where you can have a print or mug for free, which is amazing from Matthew, to be fair. You just need to cover the postage and that. So if you are struggling this Christmas and you feel that you need that help, Matthew J. Wood Design, you'll get him on Twitter. And he'll be able to sort you out with prints, a free mug, and just cover off the post. And so well done, Matthew. Absolutely tremendous work. And he's actually affiliated with the club as well. So totally kosher. So brilliant, brilliant. Thank you. What a gesture from Matthew as well. Let's get into birthday corner now, however, Josh. And let's say a happy birthday to Anya McShane. And that's from her dad, John, and your mum. She is, we've not got the actual precise birthday, but she's on the 17th of December. She is, we don't know what age Anya's turning, but happy birthday, Anya, on the 17th of December. It's my birthday on Friday there, Josh.
Wednesday.
Yeah, I know you wish me happy birthday, you sent me a message. But yeah.
Night out.
I didn't. No, it's because I shared my birthday with my daughter, Josh. So basically, when my daughter, she comes along and my birthday's forgotten now. So, you know. That's tends to what happens now, and I'm sort of the ripe old, what I'm calling the brimful of ash at age 45. So yeah, great. And my mum loves to just keep reminding me that I'm now middle aged. I don't know why she likes doing that, but she's, I can't believe I've got a middle aged son now. Oh, so there you go. Great. Middle aged, here we go. 40, sliding down to 50 now, Josh. That's the problem.
Ah, dear.
I know. Let's go to some club news from this week. Let's talk about the Heritage Top first and foremost. Now, what are the feelings on the Heritage Top, Josh?
I quite like it. It's different. It very much, when I first saw it, it actually gave me like Tenpin bowling shirt vibes. Like, the collar and the design. But I think it's. Certainly, I'd be more inclined to wear it casually. I wouldn't wear it like to play fives, but I see it more as like a shirt for going out. Like
you wouldn't go out in it, Jesus Christ!
Like if you're going for a game of pool or something, I'd like right. wear it.
Right.
Or like on hall, like I wouldn't wear it to play fives though.
You bought into the marketing here, haven't you? So I'm going to read out what the market says. I don't know who wrote this, but here we go. So it's continuing the theme of the Falkirk District coat of arms celebrating the club's links to the neighbouring town of Grangemouth. We don't need to give them any more Grangemouth ammunition, for God's sake. Anyway, it says the season's heritage strip takes a step back from the bold designs of its predecessors, offering more refined, modern card scheme. The simple yet elegant jersey comes in a shadow cream accented with gunmetal toned collar and cuffs. I don't know what colour that is. By the way, in my opinion, if that was pure, if it was white, it would be a worldie. But I'm not too sure about the colour. Anyway, for this season, a collar has been added to the jersey as a nod to tradition, however, designed for today, blending timeless style with modern performance so it can be worn anywhere, on or off the pitch, just like Josh was saying, he's bought into this. Continue the contemporary look, the most noticeable new addition is a fresh take on our badge as we introduce a modern, simplified twist on the famous steeple. Iconic, but reimagined for everyday wear. There you go. I like the badge on it looks very cool.
Yeah, it's just it's nice to have something a wee bit different. And I know a few of the collectors will be looking to snap it up.
Yeah. So I like the collar, I like the badge, I like the kind of design and the little nuances on the back. I'm not too sure about the color of it. I'm not too sure about the color, but I'll have to see it. I've not seen it in person yet, though. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I've seen a few people wearing it. Do you remember last year that the players had that kind of pre-match hoodie they would wear? And
Yeah.
it's kind of the same kind of colour as that, which, I mean, that went down pretty well, that colour scheme last year for the kind of pre-match wear. So they
That's
might have maybe took
yeah.
that into account.
I did see the video, the promo video for it, which was filmed in Icons, and I was like, is that Stevie Beveridge smudger in the video just randomly popping up? I was like, yep, it is. So I don't know where they got it. Were you not asked to be an extra in that, Josh?
No, I wasn't, although there was
Disappointing.
a few jokes on Ruby Adam was filming it and taking pictures and stuff along with Alana and Ben, and me and Drew offered ourselves as models, but we were politely denied that request.
Oh, that's a shame. We didn't come to the eye candy that is Falkirk Daft either. So, that's disappointing from the club there. I mean, to be fair, they have some. We are Team Handsome this season, so they've got their choice of models at the club now. Though disappointing not to see yet again. I'll just keep saying we've got a model in the club playing for the club, and yet Tom Lang wasn't featured in the video. Shame on you.
The calendar though, he's marching the calendar. I had a wee look for you.
Thanks very much. Someone did, I think it was Linda sent us a message about that as well, saying that Tom is confirmed in the calendar, which means it will be hopefully on my Christmas list for Santa this year, if you could bring me the Falkirk calendar. And we'll just keep it up. It'll be March all year round in the McAnally household, I'll tell you. But there you go. Another thing, if you're looking for Christmas presents, Sid Purfoot's all by far. We spoke to Peter Morris, actually. He's going to come on this podcast. He's been meaning to come on for the last month and a half. He's basically a West Ham fan that's wrote Puddy, The Life and Times of Sid Purfoot. Now, we all know that Falkirk are the only Scottish team to break the world transfer record in 1922, when we signed Sid Purfoot from West Ham for £5,000 in that day. Went on to play 113 times for the Bears and scored 45 goals. But I do, it's one of my favourite Scottish football facts that Falkirk are the team that have broke the world, the only Scottish team to break the world transfer record. And it was Sid Purfoot coming to the club, Josh.
Yeah, it's something that you can be proud of as a Falkirk fan, obviously, that I think there was like a whip round the town to bring him up.
There was like
And
a pressure. There's pictures of like I think I don't know if it's on the Heritage Trail in the stadium, but I've certainly seen like pictures of this kind of like him being shown round to the fans and like a horse and cart or something like that around the town. It's incredible stuff.
there's a great story as well that the fee was agreed between the two clubs, and they went down with the briefcase full of cash, and they came back up, and there was still £500 left in the briefcase, so they saved some money on the deal as well.
Incredible stuff, incredible stuff. So that book, Puddy, The Life and Times of Sid Purfoot, I think it's in the club shop as well, or you can order it online. So there you go, a couple of wee Christmas ideas if you're struggling. And maybe if you are struggling for Christmas ideas, of course, we've got our own merch stall, merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. Get your merch in there. You know, you're leaving it late now, come on. Who wouldn't want a Falkirk Daft hoodie? Who wouldn't want a Falkirk Daft t-shirt? I mean, this is the kind of Christmas present that the person, that special Falkirk supporter in your life wants. So get on to merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk and get that sorted now. I've got to say thank you very much to this week's episode sponsor. Room Architecture, who have been on the go for 5 years, Ryan Marshall, a friend of the podcast, sponsors all our live events. He has been in and about the town for about 17 years and now is only one of three chartered architects in the town. If you want to get recommendations, all you have to do is ask Scott Henderson at Crunchy Carrots. He designed, Ryan designed the new offices, which was the old Leckies, the houses across from the old Polish Club. That's Ryan's work as well. And they've got a growing team of architects willing to help you with projects right across Scotland, not just Falkirk. You can get contemporary extensions, housing developments, commercial property. They'll do the lot. And do you know what? This is what Ryan said to us. Basically, you're going to get, if you want a project done, you're going to get a 10% discount if you quote Falkirk Daft. So if you're looking to get a project done around the house or an extension, what have you, if you just go to Ryan and say, Falkirk Daft sent me your way, you're going to get 10% off that. So worth it if you are thinking about getting something done in the new year, because everyone, you know, it gets the new year and you're like, oh, I want to change house, and we're like, well, why don't we put an extension on it? Let's do that. Well, just by listening to this podcast, you're going to get 10% off the that architect fee, and you get in touch with Ryan, rmar.co.uk, and he will sort you out. He is there for all your architectural needs, and he's a Falkirk supporter. And what do we say on the podcast? And by the way, Josh, I've got issues with you because I heard you on commentary using my line, keep it in the Falkirk family.
You've not trademarked it yet, so it's up for grabs.
No. There we go. So, yeah, thanks very much to Ryan for sponsoring this week's episode. And, of course, the Behind the Wall, our usual... Brian Flynn supports this podcast and the whole team Behind the Wall. Stay local, eat and drink global. Falkirk Daft Venom obviously is on sale, and there's lots getting sold over the Christmas time as people get drunken at their Christmas parties drinking the Falkirk Daft Venoms. And of course, if you don't like Venoms, there's the fine wines, lagers, craft and cask ales that you can get in Behind the Wall. And they're still taking bookings on the buses for Dundee and Kilmarnock, which is our next two games, both away. So you can get on Behind the Wall bus. I think it's £10 return. It might be actually a bit more for Kilmarnock, just for the distance. And then you get your pint of when you get back to the pub as well, which is great. So it's effectively, it's like, you know, you're effectively paying £5.750 for the bus fare up to Dundee or Kilmarnock, which is amazing. So if you were looking for travel, you know, and especially at this time of year when everyone's had a few babies, be safe. Jump on the Behind the Wall bus for Dundee and Kilmarnock. Go in touch with the bar, behindthewall.co.uk. Give them a call. Book yourself on the bus and enjoy that pint on the Carling stroke Falkirk Daft coach. There we are. Right, okay. We'll put it off long enough now, though. So will we talk Hearts now, Josh?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's go into the game. Four changes to the side. Let's talk about that first and foremost. Sam Hart coming in to replace Leon McCann. Henry Cartwright coming in to replace Dylan Tate. Kyle Elson was replacing Ethan Williams. And Alfie Agyeman gets started up top instead of Brian Graham. What were your thoughts on the changes, Josh?
I think they were changes that we could see coming. The only one that was a bit of a shock was Sam Hart coming back in for Leon McCann. But having thought about it, and it wasn't until halfway through the first half that I realised Kizaridis is an absolute man mountain of a player as well. So probably getting Sam Hart in for the aerial battle on that side was probably John McGlynn's thinking.
Yeah, interesting. But I mean, we all know how good Leon is in the air, and you know how he's coped. I mean, certainly coming up through League One in the Championship, how Leon has coped with big wingers, you know, because that's what he's had to do. And you know, we all know that everyone targeted Leon McCann, and he just shows up so well. So I was surprised at that. You know, I initially thought maybe it's a knock, but got the inside info that no, it was a tactical change. The two changes I would have made, I have to say, would have been Henry Cartwright and Alfie probably coming in. We'll talk about Alfie's performance in just a bit, but yeah, really surprised that Ethan Williams was not on the side. For me, if you've got Ethan Williams, you should play him. I've spoken in this podcast about, you know, what he does in terms of a player, his touch, his class, and I do think we should have played Ethan Williams.
I think there's been a lot of games recently, obviously, Wilson's got pace and talent as well, and I think we've got enough competent forwards that, to be honest, any three of the four of Wilson, Williams, Ethan Ross and Calvin Miller, I'm happy if any of those play.
Yeah.
And Williams, to take him out for a week, he's only, what, 21? It's important to give these boys a little bit of a break, especially when so much of our play is focused down his side.
Yeah, I people say that, but then I think they're young laddies. These guys are fully fit. You know, it's the older players that you should be thinking about resting because, you know, I mean, like, obviously, Kyle coming back and say, like you say, the energy, the pace he brings to the side is great. And I was happy, I have to say, that Henry Cartwright came in for the start as well, and because I don't think Dylan had the strongest of games against Hibs last week and obviously picked up that booking. I did see John McGlynn saying that the reasoning behind it was obviously Brad Spencer was due to go out on paternity, so Dylan was rested because he was only one yellow card away from a suspension, so that's why Henry was brought in. But I don't think he needs to go round the houses with that because Henry Cartwright, I think, deserves his place in the side.
Yeah, Yeah, it's a very similar, to the kind of three in behind, that you've got three centre mids that are all essentially on par with each other and ability wise, Brad, Dylan and Henry, all more than competent players. I think Dylan Tate proved a lot of people wrong this season in the way that he's rose to the challenge of Premiership football, and he's kind of made that place his own, which is just unfortunate for Henry, who just can't quite break into that starting 11. But I think he was phenomenal yesterday, and you saw the impact he had at Hibs as well. So yeah, so I wouldn't want to be John McGlynn.
Yeah, he was very good yesterday. We'll talk about his performance in just a bit. Shout out to Gate 20 and the Ultras, though. Another fantastic tifo put on by those guys. Like, what other club's going to be able to do? Kevin McAllister in the Kevin McAllister stand with a Home Alone parody. Come on, that was homegrown, excellent work. I like that as well. My wife even said, "Well, that's very good, isn't it?" I thought, yes, she even got it, so it was great. She was loving that as well. But at Christmas time, everyone's. What's your favourite Christmas movie, Josh?
Good question. Quite like Jack Frost.
Jack Frost. Is that Michael Keaton?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. That's out there, mate. That's out there. I have to say, I'm a sucker for the old romantic comedy, barbs of Love Actually. So that's my jam. But yes, yeah. Home Alone is up there. Home Alone is up there, and it was a cracking tifo from the Ultras as well. So again, just the support they offer and what they do for the club, and just bringing that atmosphere to the stadium. Again, just got to applaud it, because they made such a massive difference, and long may it continue. And if you can help with the funding and all that sort of stuff, get in touch with the Ultras, because doing stuff like that just makes a big difference, and it looks great, doesn't it? Especially when you're on the telly on a Saturday night. Let's get into the game then. However, we knew it's going to be tough. Hearts are top of the league for a very good reason, and they gave us an absolute going over when we played them at Tynecastle. They're just coming off the back of beating Celtic, which, actually, judging on, we're recording this on a Sunday evening, and St Mirren have just beaten Celtic as well, 3-1. So, by the way, well done, St Mirren, as well, I have to say. You've got, for clubs of our size, like Falkirk, like St Mirren, to go out and, beat one of the Old Firm in a cup final. It's the stuff dreams are made of, and I hope one day I'll see Falkirk do it. I did see it do it in the semi final, but love to see them do it in the final. So well done to St Mirren on that. Hopefully they then are just happy that they've got the cup and I'll settle for, 10th or something like that, so we can stay above them and keep beating them. But it's hats off to them. But Hearts, going back to them, they're a class act, Josh, when you look at that starting lineup.
Yeah, the front three are tremendous. Braga, Shankland and Kiziridis are really fantastic players. Cammy Devlin, we were singing his praises on commentary, me and Drew. Neither side of them, Magnussen and they what McEntee, they're just big brute enforcers that physical, do all the dirty work. They don't get much time on the ball, but they just make life so difficult in their press. And they press as a unit, they're well coached, and obviously Dermot McInnes, experienced manager, he's got them well drilled.
Aye, they're big boys, boy. I was surprised at how big they were, and when you saw them on the pitch, like, Jesus Christ, they're big laddies, those guys. And Devlin, just a little shite, isn't he? He's just a little shite, but it's a little shite you would like to see in your team. That kind of Paddy Craig-esque mode player who just puts himself about, wins the ball. Looking at his stats on Pambro, I think it's the most interceptions, the most tackles won in the league
Yeah.
this season. So you can tell he's a player you'd love to have on your side, just for that breakup player. He is a little shite, though. It's, when he tried to get Dylan Tate sent off when he didn't even touch him. Ridiculous. Absolutely ludicrous. And then he was hooked not long after that, by the way. I think Derek McInnes saw it coming, so he went right off. But yeah, they're a good side, as you say. Certainly in that front three, they caused danger, and that proved to be the case with only 2 minutes gone. As Lauren Shankland absolutely cracks one. What a shot it was, and what a save, by the way, for Scott Bain to even get a hand on that and get it onto to the bar. Unfortunately, obviously, it comes back out, and then Braga's there just to run in and put away. Any complaints about the goal, Josh? Because I certainly have one or two.
I don't think you can allow a player of Shanklin's quality to have so much time at the edge of the box. I almost feel that this chance comes far too early in the game for us to be just switched on. I think if that happens maybe 10 minutes later, you get a feel for the game. Your centre halves can step out, or I think one of the centre mids maybe dropped off, could have been dropped into Mark Shankland. And then, as you said, Bain, fantastic to get the save. Who was falling in to try and mark Braga? There was no one there to put a challenge in, and it was an easy finish for him.
Yeah, I thought in the build-up, Sam Hart, I think he kind of tried to, he could have just headed it out for a throw-in rather than kind of head it back in into kind of the danger area. That was the only complaint when I saw it at the time, and then looking back at it as well, I thought maybe Sam could have looked at knocking it out, but, you know, it's all ifs, buts and maybes when it comes to that. But yeah, that was my kind of only complaint over the goal. But, I mean, it's a great strike from Shankland, and Scott Bain does so well to keep it out, but, you know, obviously the follow-up, as you say, I think it just took us, you know, we were just warming up into the game, and it's just taken us off.
Yeah, just a little bit, just because it was, Shankland was quite a distance from goal. I think they were maybe not expecting him. He's kind of known as an around-the-box striker, and from it, just pull that part out of basically the thin air. Because he took it, I think it was one touch, then bang. Which is why I was impressed with Bain to get the strong fist onto the crossbar.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking down at the chances that there were in the game. There was very few, because when you obviously lose that goal early on, you think, oh God, this could be a long, long evening. But we settled into the game. You know, we there wasn't much between the two sides, I don't think, across really much, you know, of the game. I didn't think there was much between the two sides. I think Hearts were probably the better side, but there was very few chances in that first half to write home for about, Josh.
Oh, and I think that's the frustrating thing for me anyway, was that we lost the goal so early, and then it was very even. Like, it was a bit scrappy. Both sides had good, the ball possession in good areas, and then were quite wasteful with their delivery or a few passes. I thought in the middle of the park especially, both sides turned the ball over to each other quite a lot.
Yeah, it's been a real problem for us, I think, over the last few games, like, of our turnover, especially in that final third, of just, again, the wrong pass, the, you know, the midfield just, like, and Mr., you know, a man that doesn't do that a lot, Brad Spencer's been culpable of a few of those as well. So yeah, it has been over the last few weeks. It's definitely been something that's went against us.
Yeah, and I've been trying to think about it as well, John. And I know we've been chopping and changing things a little bit. I know that during that run of kind of, was it one defeat in nine or something, or two defeats in nine, we had a very settled team, and now there's been some more injuries, and we're shuffling things about, rotating players for fitness and stuff, and then that's in that rotation period is when things have been a bit clunky.
Yeah.
So it might not have anything to do with it, but yeah, it's the last two games especially, it's not been as smooth as we've been used to the rest of the season.
Yeah, just looking at the stats from across the match, you know, 46% possession to 54, you know, 6 shots to us, 13 shots to them, only 1 shot on target to their 5 shots on target. And that for me is the worrying stat there. It's like we just rely too much on just getting the balls into the box and crossing into the box, and we don't currently have the personnel to really utilise that. We don't have Ross McKeever. You know, Alfie, you know, he causes chaos, he does what Alfie does, but he's not that type of striker that will, you know, be rushing into the box. And, you know, Brian spoke about Brian. I think when you're in a situation, when you're 1-0 down, Brian's the perfect player to bring on. But I don't think, again, he starts as a nine at the age of 38, or 30, 37, in 38 now, actually. He's 38 years old in the Premiership, you know, and that's nothing against Brian, but it's, you know, age catches up on us, as I can testament to. But yeah, I didn't look at the stats. I was saying there's not much between the teams, but you look at the stats and go, well, there was a wee bit. But I mean, like you say, there was no real quick cut chances, really.
Harry Milne was one of their best players down the left hand side, but I do think Lissa marshalled him fairly well. And then the only other than the big chance that we had, Lissa kind of played the ball into the channel for Wilson, and then he carried on his run at the box and wasn't he far away if he's sliding in. But again, that delivery was great, just knowing there in the end of it, and it was no far away from getting a shot away. And then Sam Hart had another header into the
Yeah.
ground that was past the post. But again, good balls in. But when it's that's your two fullbacks trying to get into the box, it's not the target you're really trying to aim for.
Yeah. We do miss Keelan Adams, I have to say. I do think we miss that drive from Keelan Adams down the right hand side. I mean, I think Lissa, does all right in there. I mean, he had that really kind of marauding run. Which Conor Allen-esque, and he just kind of fluffed his lines at the last minute. But I mean, it would mean some goal if it went in. But he does have it in him to do that, and I do think he's a better option at right back than Conor Allen, because I do think Conor's really good in the middle. And like you say, Conor reads the game so well, and didn't do much wrong at all yesterday. The two defenders, both Hendo and him, I thought had a really really decent game for us yesterday, despite losing the two goals.
Yeah, I thought Hendo especially was probably my man of the match for a Falkirk perspective. I thought he won so many important headers, good clearances. And Conor Allen, there was one in particular I remember. I think we'd had a corner and then it got headed clear. They were charging down a counter attack 3-on-2, and he went to ground really early with a sliding tackle and just took the ball, put it out for a throw. But he timed it, he nailed it perfection, and
Yeah.
that's easily a foul, a yellow card, or potentially worse if he gets that wrong.
Yeah, he's a great footballer, Connor. I'd be interested to see what happens when we start getting bodies back if Connor retains his place in the centre of defence. But we will wait and see. Let's talk about the big incident in that first half from a Falkirk perspective, though, Josh. And it was the moment when Kyrie Wilson goes around the goalkeeper. Great ball through from Alfie Agyeman, by the way, into the run of Wilson. It was the first real bit of class that Falkirk had really shown in that final third. Wilson does everything right. He goes around the goalkeeper, looks up, and then fires it. Harry Milne, in all fairness to him, does really, really well to get back and handles it on the line. Now, there's no denying he handles it on the line, but is it a penalty? Josh Heggie.
I don't know. I think it is. My personal opinion is it's a penalty. And I think there was one recently where Ralston had
Anthony
something similar.
Ralston, this is what I was going to bring up. So Anthony Ralston, it was deemed a penalty, and I think Willie Coleman on the Willie Show said that was correct, because it was basically he stopped a goal scoring opportunity. And it was like he was in an hat-trick. I don't know what Ralston could have done with his hands when it's hit him with it. And it's very much the same situation where Harry Milne, in fairness to him, has tried to drag it in, but as he's dragging it in, the ball's hit him. And it stopped it from going in the goal.
These aren't up towards you. The annoying thing is if you watch it in slow motion, then you slow it down and you take certain clip, which is what they probably would have looked at in VAR, it looks a natural position. But if you watch the clip in full, you can see he moves his arm up. And that I don't get it.
No.
But the natural position debate, what's the difference between a player sliding in and handling it on the line in a natural position, and Ethan Williams naturally using his arms to jump for the ball and from a yard away?
And then did we get the penalty against us against Hibs as well? So yeah, it's open. I think it's just it's terrible. I mean, the fact that the annoying thing that it took only 15 seconds to check it. That didn't seem like a thorough check at all. On looking back, it was like, oh no, it's not a penalty.
I used to be a referee, and I used. I really don't like the whole conspiracy theories of referees, but I'm convinced if that's Liam Henderson sliding in on Braga's shot, it's a penalty, and I'm convinced of that.
Yeah.
I really am. I think that's given against us every day of the week.
If you that had been given against Rangers or Celtic in my day job at Super Scoreboard, we would not have heard then. We wouldn't have heard the end of it for weeks. They're still talking about that Ralston penalty and comparing it weeks on, and like it just for me was it was a penalty. It was a penalty for me. But I spoke to Brad Spencer in the lounge afterwards, and he said, "Yeah, it's a penalty for us." And I mean, we are going to say that. He will say that because we've lost the game. But if it is a penalty, it's a red card. It's a sending off. Hearts are down to 10 men.
Yeah. Is it just before half time? It's like the 42nd, 43rd minute or something?
Yeah. Yeah.
Got a question for you, though, John.
Mm-hmm.
Should he have rounded the keeper?
I do like when players round the goalkeeper. Do you think he should have just hit it first time?
Not first time, but what he does is he fakes the goalie out.
Yeah.
And then takes it around him. And I think if you're a forward player, back yourself, slot it past him. Or if you fake him out, dink it. Because he's got it ground, dink it.
Yeah. I think I've spoken about it in this podcast as well, when Ethan Williams did it as well, when players go around goalkeepers, because I don't think there's enough of that. And because once you take a go out, you can slide it in. Obviously, Harry Milne stopped that from happening. But, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. Maybe you should be hitting it first time. Maybe you should be hitting it first time. I mean, we're not talking about this penalty incident. But, yeah, for me, the annoying thing as well, it's like how little the check took when everyone in the stadium could see it hit his hand, and they were just like, yeah, no, it's not it. So I don't think Callum Scott and Andrew Dallas, and I'll be interested to see what the reaction to this is from Willie Colm. If he's backed the Ralston penalty, he cannot back his referees in this call. He really can't, because it's the exact same type of situation, I would say.
The annoying thing about handball is that there's now so many different permutations of, sometimes this is the case and sometimes it's not the case. And it's leading to so much inconsistency, and not just from Falkirk. Like, obviously, we've talked about the one against Hibs at the home game against Ian Williams, but Livingston against Rangers, there was that one where it hits a hand and, it's not given. And then, weeks later, it's someone else, then it's us last night. But then sometimes they're given, sometimes it's not. And that's what VAR was brought in to stop. Was the inconsistencies. So if we're now, we can't celebrate a goal for 5 minutes because we're waiting on a VAR check, but we're still getting inconsistencies with these penalty decisions, just scrap it.
Yeah, that didn't, I mean, it's horrible, like, being up in the Premiership now is great, obviously, but the VAR thing, like, I didn't celebrate when Ethan Ross scored last week again. Hibs, I knew, I thought, there's no point in celebrating this because they're going to look at this and it might be offside. It certainly looked offside, and it turns out it was a ball here offside, but it's just, it kills the game, man. Honestly, it's just
a lot harder because we need him sometimes. We look really silly if we go mental and then it's chopped off.
Yeah.
And then if we had a muted celebration, like, I think it was the Kilmarnock goal, the first goal against Kilmarnock.
Yeah.
Very muted from us because we were like, oh, it's going to get chopped off.
Yeah, exactly. And it was fine. So that was brilliant. That one, but yeah, we've had decisions go against us, I would say, certainly in the terms of, the one against Hibs again. You make comparisons again, what you said, like, how's Ethan Williams not in natural position against Hibs, and then that, honestly, but, it was 1-0 going in at half time. And the second half was just, again, much the same. I mean, the conditions were terrible. I mean, it was that horrible blustery way you get to the stadium with the rain pouring down. And just, I guess, horrible conditions to play football. And I think that really did affect the game, because both teams seemed to huff and puff in the kind of first two-thirds, and then both teams in the final third, like we said, just struggled with it, Josh.
Yeah, I think it was a little bit frustrating as well. In the second half, particularly down the main stand side, obviously you had Lisson and Wilson. I think three times they had between them, the cross came in and it was so overhit.
Yeah.
The first half, they're having to put more on their crosses to get past the wind. In the second half, they just can't get a judge of it.
Yeah, so, it was very much like a golfer. They just didn't get a hang of the crosses in that second half at all. There was so many overhit, especially for Brian Graham as well, just him scampering into the corner once he came on as well. We made the changes, obviously. half the argument, Ethan Ross and Henry Cartwright going off. I thought Ethan Ross was very quiet. I don't think, actually, when you look across the front, I thought Kyrie Wilson showed a lot of energy and stuff, but I thought Calvin Miller and Ethan Ross had very quiet games, and Alfie, again, didn't affect the game. I guess McGlynn probably would like to. We always say it off the bench is where Alfie is at his best, and, you know, as a starter, he, that little ball into Kyrell aside, he didn't really get into the pace of the game, I don't think.
I think Alfie had a better game than people would give him credit for. I know there was a few times he pulled out wide, they had a nice little step over, hit the byline, and good cross into the box. He had a few things like that, but he was getting no service. I really don't feel he was getting any service at all. Calvin and Ethan were both quiet. Ethan grew into the game second half, I felt.
Yeah, it seems to be like, I mean, Ethan was like this the last time, when he was out injured the last time. It took a wee while for him to get back up to speed with things. And I thought he was good at, in saying that, I thought he was good at hips last week, but I thought Calvin was a bit off it. I was surprised he was given man of the match. Though apparently it was the sponsors of the match were Hearts supporters, and they just handed it out to anyone, I think. So that's what I'd heard anyway. But I was surprised that Calvin got man of the match.
Yeah, and maybe just obviously the size of the Hearts players we talked about, you know, McEntee especially in that kind of centre mid enforcer role, with Calvin with that physical disadvantage against players like that, probably didn't go in his favour. No. But yeah, unusually, because he barely tops our assist chart and he's joint top league goal scorer. So yeah.
Not the greatest game for Calvin, or actually most of that kind of front line as well, as we say. Henry Cartwright goes off as well. I was surprised that, I thought, but in saying that, Dylan Tate comes on and he offers, you know, Dylan Tate for the energy he offers and just his eagerness to get on the ball, and obviously the most fouled player in the league. So, you know, I'll get you a foul here, there and everywhere with Dylan. But, and then Ethan Williams, I think, was obviously coming. It didn't really have the impact I hoped it would do. I thought, again, we just struggled to get Williams on the ball. I think we really struggle that sometimes, to get our dangerous players onto the ball, and we really struggled in that final third again.
Yeah, it was a strange one. Obviously, Williams kind of came on playing the 10 at first, and things just didn't fall for him. Either the Falkirk players couldn't get the ball to him, or he just never seemed to get enough chances on the ball. And it felt like normally I think the subs come on and make a big difference. It almost had an adverse effect, that when the subs came on last night, that took the sting out of the game a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, you can say the same with Brian. Brian didn't really get the ball into him at all. It's like,
he's in the box for three crosses and it goes sailing over his head. And that's what you do for Brian Graham is you put it on a sixpence for him and he'll finish it.
Yeah, exactly. Didn't really get himself into the game at all, Brian, unfortunately. But yeah, it didn't make, you say the subs didn't make the impact they did. I mean, sub for Hearts, unfortunately, one of our own, Stephen Kingsley. Oh, gee, it was always going to be first touch of the ball, and I don't have any complaints about this goal at all, actually. I don't know if you do, Josh, but I don't think we've done much wrong.
It would be very, very harsh to criticise. You could say that someone's not picking him up. Like you're gambling too much with your wide man. Should be covering a little bit more. But when you're chasing a game, you're needing to take risks. And I'd rather lose 2-0 than 1-0 and try and take a chance. And it gave Luke Leahy vibes against Hibs.
Do you know what? It was very, I was thinking the exact same when I saw it at the time. I've watched it back since, and it did have that, the way he's hit it. He's not hit it as sweet as Luke Leahy did, I don't think. But it was a very, very sweet strike from Stephen King.
Look at the replay. Bane's not far away at all.
No.
He's very, and given the fact it was taken early, the pace at which it was hit, there's nothing the goalie can do about it.
Nah, there's nothing that Scott Bain is going to be able to do to stop that. And you know, and then it was just the game just kind of, I thought we'd, you know, chase it, but it was just like Hearts had done their job. They were up the road with 3 points at that point, and we just kind of petered out a wee bit, which was a bit disappointing, I think.
Yeah, a bit frustrating. It's certainly knocked the stuffing out of us. I think the disappointment of losing that second goal. Obviously, there was still some time left. We chucked on like Arfield to try and have another finisher that if we could. But we had players that could finish the ball like Graham and Arfield, and then the service just wasn't there.
I
But
know, yeah,
can
Arfield barely touched the ball, and there's one thing that Scott got a ball in, and he got in a good position, and he just totally overhit his pass as well. It was like, really did, again, just coming in at that last minute. I was actually crying for Scott to be brought in on a bit earlier, in that 60-minute mark, to just try and get some hold ups up front, because nothing was sticking up top as well. So I thought, actually, bringing one at 60 minutes and maybe some of the hole, but he came on later. But it was, listen, it was a 2-0 game. It was two very good goals. The Shank one strike into the Braga header, and Kingsley. We did okay. We did okay against a team that potentially are title challengers. In fact, you've got to say that Hearts are title challengers with the way Rangers and Celtic are going this season, 100%. So I'll be interested to see where it kind of we look back at the end of the season, how that kind of stacks up. But
It's still only Hearts in the league this season. One defeat, I think.
yeah, still only one defeat. Still only one
So
defeat.
your first time you've only been beat once. Like, I don't think we can say, oh, it's because Rangers and Celtic are playing poorly. They're a great side. They're a fantastic side. They've got their analytics. Their signings are really good. I think Braga's one of the best players I've seen this season.
Yeah.
Real good player. Good find.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, let's hear what John McGlynn had to say after the match.
John, a difficult night. Obviously, Hearts are top of the table and in really good form. It was always going to be a difficult match, but perhaps slightly disappointed not to take anything from that.
Yeah, you're always disappointed when you lose a game. You're right. I mean, there's a reason why Hearts are top of the league. They're a good side. I think for the conditions, it was a good game considering the conditions. Disappointed to find ourselves a goal behind within about 90 seconds of the game starting. It was a shot out of nowhere. It was a great strike, which Beanie made a save from and tipped on the bar. But, they followed in where we didn't. So it's disappointing to be down a goal so early. But I thought we showed good character and mentality to stay in the game and actually to create a great opportunity to score. I thought we were always a threat in the first half. Kyrie's done everything right, bar put the ball in the back of the net, which he hit it. He's going round the goalkeeper, and he's hit it well. Yeah, it's a great block on the line, which, fair play. They've managed to get back. I think if it went in, I think on the balance of play and the way the game had gone, I think that would have been fair at half time to come in, level. I think other than the goal, I don't think Hearts created very much in the first half. So I was really, really pleased. We wanted to do more than we did in the second half. We had gone to some good positions. Our crossing wasn't so good tonight. There was overhit. I think maybe the wind and that. Maybe we'll try something, in these wider areas, maybe to counter the wind. But obviously, the balls were going too long, not really getting in the right areas for us to get on the end of. And yeah, it was a bit disappointing that we couldn't make anything of these opportunities when we got in the good wide areas. The killer second goal was another amazing strike. I think from the five goals we've lost against Hart, at least three of them have been worldies, absolute worldies. So he's run onto it, and as everyone knows, Falkirk-wise, Stephen Kingsley is more than capable of doing that. And it's a great strike. And the game was kind of like still there to get something from the game. I think that kind of killed it a little bit. We just made some substitutions and didn't really get the guys going. It was unfortunate, So, look, unfortunately, we're trying our best, but we'll probably know at a level to compete with these top teams, actually. You've got to be realistic about that. We can make it difficult for them. I think we did tonight. We need that little bit more quality. I mean, that comes from, being able to Hearts are signing players, for good money, good amounts of money. They've got a very, very strong squad. And similar way Hibs last week, So unfortunately we have to just take it on the chin. The most important thing now is getting prepared for Kilmarnock. We've got two games against Kilmarnock and Dundee coming up. that are very, very important, because we want to try and stay in around the area that we are, which is mid-table, trying to compete to get into the top six. And to do that, we need to be taking care of the games that are going to be coming up next, Kilmarnock and Dundee. So we dust ourselves down, yeah, we get ready for that Kilmarnock game, and as I say, we take it from there.
Yeah, I mean, John's pretty much covered what we've just talked about, really, on the podcast. We quarter zip for John. Oh, I've seen him with that before. We cream quarter zip, a white T-shirt, sporting the old Canada Goose jacket in the dugout last night. You know, you got to keep warm at this time of year as well. You know, I think, I wonder if he's alluding to Josh. You know, you talk about signings and what have you. We can see where the problem is, and that is in the number nine position at the moment. We know there's a good chance that Barney's coming back in January, but putting all your hopes on a young lad who still was, you know, pretty raw, I wonder if we will get the opportunity to try and go out and get someone in January.
I'd like to think it's high on the priority list. Speaking to Ross a few weeks ago, and obviously it's going to be a long-term, and any surgery is a long-term injury.
Yeah,
I think it's crucial that, because if you'd said, you know, you're starting a Premiership game, and I love him, but with Alfie, we've seen him more as a winger.
Yeah.
If you told me a Premiership game with Alfie up top, you know, 3 years ago, you wouldn't have believed it. And that's no criticism to Alfie, because I think I love Alfie, and I think he's a great player, but it's not his natural position. No. And missed having his impact off the bench in the wide areas because he's having to play up through the middle. So I think it's something that we need to look at.
I mean, you know, your options is Brian Graham, Alfie, because Gary Oliver's out injured as well. So it's like, what do you do?
Trey, and interesting that Trey's not made an appearance as well.
Well, that tells its own story, I think. He's not got the trust of the management. Clearly, they're not a starting Trey. Though, in fairness to Trey, I think he's a very different striker to the way we play. You know, like, he'll probably, seen all his kind of YouTube footage, he seems to be a striker that likes to, you know, balls in behind, and that's not what Falkirk do. We're all about putting the ball wide and getting into the box that way, rather than going through the middle, you know. So I guess Trey was brought in as an option that we could go that way if we wanted to. But when plan A is not working, you know, and we maybe just don't feel comfortable with that kind of plan B, with, you know, all the problems that we're having in the terms of injuries and stuff. So I don't know. I'll be interested to see what happens come January. I 100% suspect Barney will be back. 100% come January.
I think even if we bring him back, first as soon as we can, we could always send him back out to Dunfermline, yeah, End the window.
Yeah, well, like we did with Luke Graham, what Dundee did with Luke Graham with us as well. So
get him back, plug the gap at least until, yeah, we got someone in. But that was almost like, give him a few games to how do you do in the Premiership. If he's performing well, we can keep him. If he's maybe not quite ready, it'd be better served to develop it, you know, a lesser club for a few more months. Then then we can, yeah, maybe send him back to a Diddy club.
Lowy Dunfermline, yeah, absolutely. Let's hear what the supporters were saying to the match. Dave kicks off saying conditions weren't great, but felt he missed someone up top to hold the ball up. Too many overhit crosses and misplaced passes. Henry was excellent again. Injuries to key players playing a part, and no goals in four games tells where the issue is. Two huge games in Dundee and Killy next. Yeah, I mean, it is two big games. You know, when we've went through this run, where for the first time in this season, went two defeats back to back. I think, is it two defeats the first time that's happened this season? I think it maybe is.
Bounce back from most, yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So two defeats back to back this season. So yeah, I mean, Dundee and Killy, unfortunately both away, which is tough. But, you know, we've got to go there, and with, you know, our way, when we've went to away games, you know, Ibrox, Pittodrie, Tannadice, and we've got something at those grounds, you know, you've got to go to Rugby Park and Dens Park, especially the way they're playing, and hope you can get some. But yeah, two huge games, Josh.
Yeah, and you look at the last four games, okay, they're just saying no goals in four games. You're playing against the top six, minus, yeah, Celtic.
Yeah.
So or the top five minus Celtic. So we're up against the best teams in the league. We've struggled with, obviously, we're very close to scoring by Wilson's chance. You know, we had one chopped off against Hibs, so it was a fraction away from being onside, you know.
Yeah,
I think you've got to look at the bigger picture. Every team has a little dry spell. Let's hopefully that's the end of ours.
Let's hope so. Jade Penman has a bit of a hot take here. God forbid criticising Captain Fantastic, our leader. Him and Miller were passengers for weeks because they think they're undroppable teacher's pets. Needs rested or changed. Need Edwards in at centre-half and Hendo for Spencer in midfield. Whoa, that's a hot take.
I don't think you can take Hendo at the back line.
I do, 100% you don't take Liam Henderson out of the back line.
I have to admit, I've been impressed with Edwards and the cameos that he's made. I think he looks a good player. Mm. But if we have someone in the midfield, move Conor Allen forward. Because he's shown that.
That's true. But why would you move forward where you could have Henry Cartwright in midfield as well? Like you could put... Yeah, I appreciate...
So Brad does a lot of work that you know, people don't necessarily see if they're watching the ball, because he's off-ball movement. He's in the advanced metric stats that, you know, us nerds research about.
Oh, my God. Do you look at the advanced metric stats, Josh? Jesus Christ.
He tops so many of these, or he's in the top three of so much of the advanced metric stats.
Yeah.
Ball retention, you know, long ball percentages, duels won in the midfield, driving ball forward, pass completion rate. He's like top three in centre mids in the league. Yeah. So I can see he retains his place.
Yeah, you don't. I don't think he was great at the weekend there, but yeah, you don't drop bad Spencer. You know, my argument was yesterday against Hibs and like that, you just go with the three in midfield and just crowd out that midfield area. You put Henry, Dylan and Brad into that midfield and just crowd out that area and then just look to, you know, knock out to the wings and do it that way, right, and drop the 10, lose a Calvin Miller, lose a Scott Arfield, lose that number 10 and just drop a bit deeper.
Yeah, it's certainly an option. We went through a spell of doing that. I think we did that away at Tynecastle and look what happened to us. We tried it at Celtic Park as well in the Cup. So I think the centre mids helps us win the defensive battles a little bit more. But I think it just further highlights the isolation between our forward and midfield.
Yeah. Interesting. Tam says, I hope for a point. In reality, it was always going to be a tough against the league leaders. The penalty shout, if given, may have changed the game and thought we were still in it up until the second goal. Team worked hard, but need someone up top who can score goals. That is our big concern, absolutely. Graham says, they were bigger, stronger, faster and better than us in every department. Season won't be defined by results against Hearts or Celtic, but we were honking tonight. Best for us, Lisa, Cartwright, Hendo, Allen and Miller. Worst, Alfie and Wilson. That's interesting from Graham. It's obviously the bold Graham McKechnie, the Grim Reaper, that's coming with that take. But I wouldn't say Wilson was worse, that's for sure. Joe says, McGuinn needs to invest in a wind machine for crossing practice and Gales. Some poor finishing and sloppy passes. No need for the boo boys at the end. We're in the Premier League playing the top teams. We need to stop expecting a result from every game in this league. I don't think the team were getting booed. I think it was the referee that was getting booed, because the referee was shocking yesterday.
Yeah, at first I was a bit disappointed by the reaction, but then I looked over and I saw it was only the kind of far section of the main stand that was booing, and that would have been as the officials are going towards the tunnel area. So I don't think it was aimed at the players.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. It was poor refereeing. It was Callum Scott yesterday who was in charge of the game, and he should keep to the singing and not the refereeing. I don't think it was the players we're getting. But Don says, final passing let us down. It needs to be stronger in the final third. Agreed. And finally, Craig says, deserved result, but not much in it until the second goal. Need to be sharper in the final third, as again, we got into some good positions, but either overhit the cross or misplaced a pass. January will be a big month for us. We really need Ross McKeever back sooner rather than later. Unfortunately, it's looking like it's going to be later, which is, it is troublesome, to say the least. Right, okay then, Josh, let's get into Falkirk Daft Rated and Falkirk Dafty. What are we going for Falkirk Daft Rated?
For me, it's Hendo. Hendo just was... I know we conceded two, but I don't think he could have done anything much about them. I think he won so many aerial duels, especially the corners that we were under pressure from. Dealt with them so well, set pieces. Just another good performance from him. And, you know, he's played and scored in all four of the Scottish leagues. And I think his rise to, you know, to show, again, someone else we mentioned, Dylan Tate, rising to the critics of overperforming, overexceeding his expectations. And he's proven people wrong every game. And I'm really happy to see that.
Yeah, I'm 100% agree with you on Liam again. The shout of moving on into midfield when he's playing so well at centre half is mental. And let's not get it right, he was great in midfield when he was playing there and for us in League One. But, you know, it's Hendo at centre half has been the reason we've performed so well, you know. And let's not forget, we've kept up and we were having a really good run of just keeping clean sheets, and Hendo's a big part of that. So yeah, Liam Henderson for me, I will 100% back you on that one. Dafty, what are we thinking?
We'll give it to Cammy Daly. Oh no, wait, it was a Tom Daly impression he was doing.
Cammy Devon for his dies. I'm all up for that. I would like to give it to the VAR team, Andrew Dallas as well, however, for them for that. Just that instant check, like not even just like, that's not a penalty. I think it was a bit more
for that. Send the ref over, like that's. Aye. Oh, so, anyway, I don't like that. I rallied enough during half time.
Oh, I bet
the poor listeners.
I bet you. I would need to go back and see if I can see that, Josh, of you just ranting and raving at half time yesterday on Falkirk TV. That's our daft, and there's no Falkirk daft verses because it's just me and you today, Josh. But so before we go, we're just going to say thanks very much to our sponsors, Falkirk Football Fans and Training. Guys have been on the podcast for a couple of years now. The Kelpies Cup is coming soon, but if you want to get involved with the training and the boys, get yourself down there Wednesday night, 8:30 to 9:30. As I say, I'm heading towards 50. So there's now an over 50 section, so I'll be watching this space. I'll be with them in a couple of years' time. But anyone's welcome. All the details for the Facebook page are below. There is an Elite Academy and Legends section. And as I say, it's a great chance to get fit, especially going into the new year when you're looking to lose a couple of pounds. That's a great way and a great laugh as well, meeting a lot of like-minded individuals and fellow Falkirk supporters. They're a great bunch of lads. So get down, stadium's 8:30 to 9:30, and speak to Ian, Willie or Doogie. The link is in the bio below. And also, we should mention Nutmeg Magazine as well. They kindly sponsored the podcast just last week as well. And there is a link below for you to get a subscription to Nutmeg with a discounted rate because you're a Falkirk Daft listener. Good stocking filler. It's a really good read. We're talking about actually the issue recently, Josh, best free kicks. It's kind of a, you know, analysis of free kicks. What's your favourite free kick that Falkirk have scored?
Ethan Ross had one last year.
Morton.
That was,
yeah, Morton.
And then Detta McManus had one.
Oh, what a shout. For he absolutely just towed it and it was a rocket. I can't remember who it was against, but I remember that free kick. I remember being behind it and going, fucking hell, what a strike that was. That's a good shout, actually. So there you go. But you can find out all about free kicks in the latest edition of Nutmeg, and a link if you want a wee cheeky discount is below as well. So there we go, all business dealt with. We are on to Kilmarnock and Dundee next. We'll hopefully have the Kilmarnock preview out later this week, depending on Ross's health. But if not, I will try and I'm trying to get Captain Conker on to do it, because he's a bit of a character as the Bulgian that plays Captain Conker, the Kilmarnock mascot. So I'm trying to get Captain Conker on. I promised him the last time and didn't deliver, so I won't promise, but we'll see what happens. And there will be an episode probably previewing Kilmarnock a bit later in the week. I will not be at the game on Saturday. Josh, you will definitely be there, however.
Yes, yeah. I'll be there.
There you go. You can hear, obviously, the dulcet tones of Josh Heggie on Falkirk TV every week alongside Big Drew. And you're doing a fantastic job. you know, stepping into Sean's shoes was always going to be tough, Josh, but you're smashing it, son.
Cheers, pal. Thank you.
There you go, brilliant. Right, that's me enough ass-kissing from Josh now. Remember, get Falkirk Daft wherever you get your podcast. You can see us on YouTube. You can pick up that Christmas merch, merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk, or go to pintsandprints.co.uk. There's a Falkirk Daft collection there for you to enjoy all the t-shirts. And, of course, the Discord channel. I keep forgetting to miss the Discord channel. There's a guy in the Discord channel, Boston Bairn, who has been inundated, I think, for requests for accommodation when Scotland go over there. So we have got a Bairn in Boston. I will be tapping into Boston Bairn's contacts if I have to go over to the World Cup and find out where we should go.
I book my flight on Friday, so I'll be there.
Yeah, and of course, former Falkirk Stadium announcer Jack Cochran lives in Miami as well. So you've already tapped Jack. Well done, Josh. Everyone else. I messaged Jack the other day. They're saying, take it, you've had a lot of friend requests, aye, because he's now over in Miami as well. So we've got port in every storm, Josh. We're all right. But aye, get into the Discord, get in the chat there, and we will see you on the next Falkirk Daft. Hey, Josh, you're going to have to do Ross's line since he's not about. But until that time,
it's unexpected.
What Falkirk Daft? What Falkirk Daft? Talking about the dark blues and having a bit of a laugh. What Falkirk Daft? What Falkirk Daft? You can listen in the pub or you can listen in the bath. What Falkirk Daft? What Falkirk Daft? For everyone who's kidding about being a Falkirk Bairn. What Falkirk Daft? We are Falkirk Daft.